Now, we're going to talk about the Equality Act. Now, the definition is that the Act simplifies, strengthens and harmonises the current legislation to provide Britain with a new discrimination law which protects individuals from unfair treatment and promotes a fair and more equal society. Now, how does it really work and what are our rights? Joined now by a friend, Paul Quigley, who has a bit of expertise in this area. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, this law came in 2010. Basically, in a nutshell, Equality Act, what difference does it make?
For disabled and blind people, as we'll be listening to RNRB Connect Radio today, it makes an enormous difference. The Equalities Act 2010 enshrines into British law our absolute right to expect a certain level of equality and fair treatment, as you mentioned earlier on in the intro there, that we don't no longer have to grovel for our rights, that it is basically, it's a new Bill of Rights for disabled people. It is a human rights act for us. It protects us. It also protects workers' rights. It's not just solely about the Disability Discrimination Act updated. It's a lot more than that. So we do, as disabled and blind visually impaired people, we can have a level expectation of being treated fairly and properly and with respect by all public sector and private sector organisations and the wider society as a whole. It's a wonderful, brilliant piece of legislation, and the way that we ensure that we continue to enact it, Simon, is that we enforce it, we as individuals, and of course we report back to the Equalities and Human Rights Commission if we ever have any organisations we come across who are transgress the law. It is the law. Every organisation has to know it. They have to train their staff in it so that we can expect it to be treated fairly and that we never have to feel as if we're asking for a favour when we ask for anything other than a total equality, which means, as in our case, visually impaired people, blind people, we can expect different formats of correspondence, for example, like audio, CD, braille, large print, if we need it. We can expect that. We shouldn't have to ask for it. And if we ever find that we are having to grovel for it, then we get the ECHR involved and they will ensure that they have the teeth, they have the legal power to fine these people and shame and embarrass these corporations if they don't ensure that we are equal. So basically, we join society finally after, well, thousands of years of being underlings, quite honestly, and it's a wonderful piece of legislation. I think we should all be very proud to be and you know, benefit from it. And we basically we are very lucky in this day and age to have such a fantastic piece of legislation. And yes, it's wonderful. That's what the Equalities Act 2010 is. It's very important, and we should be very glad that we've got it, quite honestly.
So give us just briefly an example of where the Equality Act would work. Like take for instance going into a building or something.
Yes, absolutely. But it's all about discrimination. It's all about ensuring that there is equal access. And of course, with it being an internet age, a lot of us are now very, very cognizant of the fact that accessibility is now a diversity. But for us, accessibility, being able to access banking sites or online governance, because a lot of government sites like gov.uk and HMRC and other corporate government institutions now virtually, not all, but quite a lot of it is online. Now, it makes an assumption that that visually impaired and blind people can access that. That isn't always the case, is it? So we have to ensure that there are screen readers, that it is screen reader compliant, that there's other methods. If you can't actually see anything to move a mouse or a tablet, because with tablet PCs, of course, it's smartphones. They're all glass, sheets of glass, aren't they, these days, a lot of these smartphones. So you can't actually see any numbers on the screen, because they don't exist as such. They're just sort of pixels, they're pixelated numbers. But if you can't see, as I can't, I have to navigate to the number 5 normally on a keypad, and that 5 has a little raised dot. Now, it doesn't exist on a smartphone. So if you go to Bank A or Bank B and Bank C, and they only have an option for smartphones where you can't see the numbers, technically or in legal terms, they are breaking the law. They should have an alternative method. So if Bank B has that method, they are actually adhering to the Equalities Act by having an alternative method. So they thought that through already. So that's how it works in the real world, that they need to think systems and processes through. And if they haven't, then they should be pulled up about it. And they should, in pretty short order, get their act together and make sure that there is an alternative, say, interactive voice response system, IVR system, that you can use it and navigate by voice if you can't do it by fingertip touch. And of course, a lot of these things, are, you know, it is touch screen, there's touch screen, that. What if you can't see where to touch? It's a bit difficult, isn't it? Because if you think about Braille is a set of raised dots. You can't have Braille on a screen as such. In the the current LED LCD screens, there obviously there's braille readers that you can have printouts of, but that's not quite the same thing in the real world of smartphones and touchscreen TVs. For blind people, it's a pain in the, you know, so it's got to be done in a different way. They have to think this through. That's where we, as blind and partially sighted people, can actually help navigate, nudge these organizations who are a bit slow on the uptake for the internet age to, you know, make sure that there are accessibility adaptations of sites. And it's all about reasonable adjustments. And of course, reasonable adjustment to corporate is hundreds of thousands of pounds. They can well afford to put these sorts of new systems for us. And it is the law, and we should expect that.
So let's take that example you've used then. Mm. So you've gone to a bank and it's inaccessible to you. Mm. So what's the next step? Because we know that in the best will of the world, this is a great law, but it doesn't always just happen naturally, does it? You have to sometimes kick
That's
it along.
Right. You do, that's right. And I think what it is that you have to take a softly approach. I mean, to say, as we've said before in previous conversations, remember we talked about the utilities and setting up with the utilities when you move house, etc. You have to just be trying to work with them. I mean, most of the time, the people that you'll deal with are trying to help. They are trying to be helpful. And they don't realize, a lot of it is ignorance, quite honest. They don't realize that the systems they have in place aren't actually yet totally 100% foolproof, accessible for visually impaired and blind people. So it is a help of guiding them. So I often offer my services almost as a freebie volunteer disabled person to advise them, free consultant, to say, right, this is how this works in the real world. You know, you don't have an option five, like, so press one for this, press two for that. Well, if you can't see to press anything, there should be an option at the end to say, and hang on to the line if you can't press, if you know, if you need a human assistance. So that sort of little, this little nuanced things that they don't do often. That, I mean, a Royal Mail is a prime example. I was having some mail redirect set up, and I rang in to sort of check on my order to check the mail had been redirected from address A to address B when I moved, and there wasn't an option. And I literally was holding this phone thinking, I can't press any of these options because I can't see it. And there wasn't an option five or six or whatever it was to say, hold on the line. You literally looped around back to number one. One, press one for this, press two for that. Got to number four, press one for this. It went round and round. And I just thought, this is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? And there wasn't an alternative number. There wasn't like a human number, 0800, 12345, to ring to talk to a human. You had to go. And so I drew a blank. I had to actually give up. And I can't remember how I resolved that one in the end. I did actually press one. No, I didn't press anything because I couldn't see it. I don't think there was an option. I just had to leave it and wait for my mail to arrive. And if it didn't arrive, then I didn't know. It was like, again, Royal Mail, I'll name them because it is the truth. It's a fact. Anyone can phone in now and they can find that's the case. For a blind person, you can't get through. But others, you know, there are some very good ones like EE, you know, provider of mobile phones and telecoms. They are excellent. They do have alternatives. And so that's how it is in the real world. You know, we sort of have to work with them, I think, and try and suggest things. I mean, the wheels of these corporations can grind slowly. I mean, you'll get an apology letter or you tend to have to file a complaint, they call it these days. You rather than advise them and say, listen, this isn't a complaint as such, this is more of a, you know, a suggestion to improve your systems. But they don't tend to have that. They seem to have, it's either complaint or nothing. So you have to file a complaint and then that goes through a certain procedure, and then you have they have this ombudsman and all this sort of, it's a financial system you have to, and you just think, oh Lord, I mean, look at these big clunky systems. I mean, it's quite, a lot of it isn't rocket science and they should be able to do it fairly quickly. And of course it's great PR for them. And yet the ironic thing is, a lot of these times they have this thing at the end of the phone call about customer service and customer experience and satisfaction, and they want you to between a scale of 0 to 10, how much would you recommend us to your friends and family? And of course you wouldn't really recommend them at all to the blind community, a lot of these people, because they don't work. So it's one of those things. It's an ongoing process with a lot of them, but I think, you know, we're a hell of a lot better than it used to be. It is getting better. And I think every time we pick on something, we almost need to just do it for each other, because every time we can improve it for ourselves, we're improving it for all of us. So I think it's very important that we do push on so that, you know, somebody jumps on the barbed wire and climbs over so the rest of us can follow on and get and move forward, quite honestly. That's how it should work.
And again, on financial terms for businesses, you know, it makes better practice and more sense, because they're missing out on business from a quite a large sector of the community as well.
They absolutely are. I mean, this is all part of most corporations, what they call CSR, corporate social responsibility, and they're very, very hot on that now. And it's all about corporate governance, and of course they have to look good in the eyes of shareholders and as well as regulators, of course, and the customers. So, I mean, yes, it's a win-win for them if they can do it. I mean, they're more likely to win more business by being completely accessible to everybody, as the law dictates they should. And so, yes, it is, and it's all about brand reputation, and that's why I think a lot of the time they do tend to move quite quickly once you sort of wave the disability card and say, listen, you know, technically you are breaking the law. You do realize that in the nicest possible way. And they tend to spot, you know, they tend to get with it and they'll do something. But I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. So, but they tend to find, you know, if you escalate it, what they call escalation, if you go through an escalation procedure to line managers and stuff, you tend to get some sort of satisfaction that way. But again, the problem with that, of course, it tends to be a one-off thing. Then your problem gets solved, but other people's technically don't get solved. So, you know, that's what worries me the most about it, is that just because you or me as individuals get sorted on that particular day or week, but others of us who come later on same or similar problems have to go through the same. We have to reinvent the wheel every time, and that is frustrating because you know, quality of life isn't sitting on a phone waiting and twiddling your thumbs waiting for Godot. You know, it's not one of those things. But you know, I think we're getting there. As I said before, I am optimistic about it because that legislation is so powerful and so broad brush. And you know, it's not just sitting there waiting for you and me and our solicitor to sort of write letters. We don't have to do that. We can go to the Equalities and Human Rights Commission, and they do have a proper procedure where you can file it almost over the phone. So it is good. It's getting a lot better. But as you say, these corporations, they do need to, and they are aware that it is good for their brand rep to make sure that it is the equality and diversity. Because, of course, diversity, you know, we're dovetailing with diversity as well. So I mean, it's all good for everybody. We are all equal. Nobody's any more important than anybody else. I'm very positive, and I think most corporations get it. It's a little bit slow, but I think we're getting there with the Equalities Act, I think, Simon.
Well, if you have any questions about this, perhaps you've had an experience where you've found that you haven't had equal access to something, we would love to hear from you. And if there's something that Paul can give you a little bit of advice on, we will do that. But in the meantime, Mr. Quigley, it's always a pleasure and an adventure to chat with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Pawley. Thank you very much indeed.